Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here's Chris Walton and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 8:40. It's Bronco Monday, and Bob Anthony also here. Bob Beeler, it was a pretty good weekend, I think, according to Boise State standards.
I think it was a very good weekend. And basketball wins at Oregon. Last second half-court shot by Lexus Williams. Started the weekend on Friday night to win 73-70. And a lot of people might know that it was a nice win at the end, but it snapped the nation's longest winning streak, 46 games. So I believe Cincinnati now has the longest basketball winning streak at 30. And then it continued on Saturday, come-from-behind football win, 17-14, of which Boise State needed a 90, technically a 90-yard drive, really a 95-yard drive after a penalty, so that they had to cover almost the entire football field to get the winning score, the 2-yard run by Ryan Wolpin, sealed by the Van Der Esch interception, and then ended yesterday with an easy win over Portland. Boise State got out to a 14-2 win in basketball, but the headline of the game was Chandler Hutchison's school's first triple-double, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists.
And I had no idea that the school had never had a triple-double before.
Well, complete records go back to 85. Mm. So they have none since 85, and it's a little more sporadic, but it's believed to be the first triple-double, but I think it probably is.
Yeah, we were talking about this morning that with the records going back to 85, there have been, I think, just five or six in the conference at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not one of those things that happens every day.
I've done games for 32 years. I have never done a winning half-court shot for either my team or for the other team.
That was the first
time.
That was the first
time I'd had that in 32 years of calling games. And I have seen a few triple-doubles, but they're rare. I'd say maybe two or three in the time that I've done games.
I will say that I was listening, and you did seem very enthusiastic about the end of that Oregon game. what I wanted to know is did the people in Eugene seem surprised?
Well, I think they realized they were in for a game, and the game was good. And even if Lexus doesn't make the shot, it goes to overtime. So it's not like the Ducks have a victory snatched away from them. They would have had to earn it in overtime in five more minutes. So, you know, they were good about it. I mean, people came up and congratulated, and, you know, I think, you know, 46 games. They hadn't lost since 2015.
Yeah, 46 games in a row. You just get used to thinking, well, we're not going to lose here.
And not to somebody in the non-conference.
Like the way the Pit used to be in some of those places.
Well, the reason why, and this Oregon team, this is going to be a great win because they're going to win some games. They've got a lot of young people, a couple of new transfers like Boise State, so I think they're just starting to find themselves. I think they'll be in the top three or four in the Pac-12, so I think this will be a gift that keeps on giving.
And Boise State has an excellent record.
Yeah, 8-1. Really good start. Coach Rice won his 150th, and for the Broncos, another 10-win season and another championship. Had to really work hard for it on Saturday night. It was a defensive game. You know, you don't see only one other time UCLA and Stanford had played back-to-back, and that was in 2012. Stanford had a much better team and won both games. This time, I was curious as to whether when you replayed the game, same teams, whether the game would be more offensive or more defensive. And the answer was, I think both teams' defenses were even better than they were the week before.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, based on the score, there were people, I think, who were just casually checking the score and going, why isn't this thing updating? Well, it was updating. It was 3-0 for quite a while.
Well, and there was only that one touchdown in the whole second half.
Right.
Fresno State did not have 100 yards offense in the second half.
Wow.
So, tremendous job. So let's take a break. When we come back, we will hear from some of the Broncos celebrating the Mountain West Championship. To also tell you about a couple of plays that maybe won't go down in the books as the lead story, but if those plays don't happen, Boise State doesn't win. That's next when we come back on 670 KBOI.
It's 8:46, Bronco Monday. Chris Walton with Bob Anthony and, of course, Bob Beeler. We're talking about the excellent weekend had by the Boise State Broncos, both basketball and football. But in particular right now, let's talk some football.
All right, again, 17-14 over Fresno State. Coach Harsin was on the podium, and that was at the press conference after the game. And he spoke about Boise State's ability to just kind of tough it out and win the game for Mountain West Championship.
The way we looked at this week, there was a lot of questions about how we're going to handle playing a team back-to-back. Really, how we kind of broke it down was, this was a long halftime for us. We had eight quarters of football is what we really had. We had the first game, and then we had our break in between to prepare, and then we had this game. And that's kind of how our guys looked at it. They won the battle. We won the war. That's really what it came down to, and that was the goal at the end of the day. It was, how do we find a way to win this one? And our guys did. They showed the resiliency that they've shown all season long. They showed the toughness that they've showed all season long. And, you know, all said and done, when you play in a game like this or any game, you find a way to win. That's really what it comes down to. And at the end of the day, the stats, none of those things matter. What matters is, did you find a way to win? And in the fourth quarter, which is what we've practiced all year long and what these guys have bought into, we were able to find a way to win. That's exactly what we did.
And Boise State, in the second game with Fresno State, made more of the crucial plays. There's usually five or six crucial plays that spell victory. Fresno State made them in last week's game. One of the plays that Fresno State made was sort of a lucky play, in the sense that with 8 minutes to go in the first half, Boise State stopped Fresno State on a third and two. Leighton Vander Esch was injured. They decided to go for it on fourth down. With Leighton not on the field, he made 16 tackles. They got in for the score. And then a couple of the hidden plays for Boise State. A punt was down at the one-yard line by Brock Barr. That was with 6 minutes to go in the half. Bottled Fresno State up at their own one. Had to punt. Avery Williams ran it back. They got an easy touchdown drive of 4 yards. And then in the fourth quarter, Fresno State had the ball about midfield. They needed a third and 10. It looked like they had it. Tyler Horton forced the ball out. Fresno still got the ball, but it was not a first down. They had to punt. Boise State got the ball at their own 10, and it set up a 60-yard pass to Cedric Wilson, and then the drive continued. Brett Rippon talked about hitting Cedric Wilson on what was, to me, the pass of the season.
You know, we had talked about that, running that play a few times, coming off the sidelines, and said it was there, and, you know, we got the look that we wanted, and, you know, had a good play action fake, which I think helped out, you know, brought some safeties up, and I was just thankful to hit it. I mean, after the one that I had missed up the middle before, you know, we needed a big play, and that kind of changed the momentum in our way. And then, you know, Sed's a playmaker, man. I mean, anytime he's in one-on-one situation, I'm going to go to him. And, you know, he just did what he does tonight.
Great call. Great execution. If he didn't stumble, that might have been a 95-yard score.
Well, true.
I mean, he did a heck of a job, and Wilson gets the team MVP at the banquet yesterday.
It turned out well anyway.
And then Leighton Vander Esch seals it with an interception as Fresno State has one last chance after Boise State had scored. And Leighton Vander Esch spoke on the podium about his performance and the defense's performance.
I mean, sooner or later, we knew the defense was gonna get the ball in our hands because of just how – I mean, just how resilient we are. It just goes back to resiliency. We've got a young group, and I mean, I think we hang in there really well. And sooner or later, we just keep fighting play after play. Things are going to go our way. And I mean, it happened at probably the best time in the game. That three up, the climb coming from the field. I mean, I could tell he was kind of locked on that the whole time. And I mean, he put the ball in there and just went and got it. And at that point, I mean, the rest is history.
16 tackles, which ties a Mountain West record, ties a personal high for Vander Esch. He had 16 against Washington State. Remember, that was a three-overtime game, so probably not 16 in regulation. And then gets the interception, so what a game for him.
Yeah, an amazing effort.
When we come back, we'll take a look at what's coming up next for both the football and basketball team. It's Bronco Monday on 670 KBOI.
It's 8:53, Bronco Monday. I'm Chris Walton with Bob Anthony and Bob Beeler.
Quite the games this weekend for Boise State. The football team will be going to Las Vegas as Mountain West champs. They'll be taking on the Oregon Ducks coming up. And it really isn't going to feel like a bowl game in prep-wise because of the time. There's only 2 weeks. It's the first bowl game. It'll be Saturday the 16th. So it's almost like you get a bye this week, which will be Saturday the 9th. And then you'll head to Vegas the week of the 16th. You'll be down there for 4 or 5 days in preparation for the game. But to me, it's less time off. Some of the years, like when you've gone to the Fiesta Bowl, I think one of them that I called, the game wasn't until like the second or third. So you really feel like it's later when it's even past the New Year's and you see all the other bowl games come up. So again, the 16th, it'll be the first day of bowl games, I think, is probably the second or third game to play in the season.
And chances are, you know, in just 2 weeks, you'll see pretty close to the same team. But you go 4 or 5 weeks, you know, between the last game of the season and a bowl game, and you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, because you could get some people that are back that were injured, or maybe somebody gets hurt in the interim. Hopefully Boise State can get Alexander Mattison back. He left the game with what looked to be an ankle injury, but you know, you don't know how severe it is. It was severe enough that he couldn't come back into the game, but can he come back in 2 weeks? That'll be another question. And then Jake Rowe warmed up, I think wanted to go and was not capable of going. So whether he can play in 2 weeks is another question. You know, somebody like Gabe Perez that had surgery, not going to play.
Yeah.
I think. So, and then
go ahead.
And I was going to say, Oregon has finished the season a little bit stronger, so I think it's going to be a tougher game maybe than if you'd faced Oregon in the middle of the season.
Right.
I'm just happy we're not playing Fresno State again.
What, do we want to have a rubber match and send them both to the same bowl game?
I'm so over Fresno State.
Yeah.
That was a couple.
From a broadcaster's point of view, it was actually, with all the basketball games I had, it was actually kind of made it easier for me because the same people played both weeks.
Oh, good point.
I was very familiar with the numbers and names that I was going to be having to call.
Have to memorize a brand new roster.
Basketball doesn't have to play again until Saturday, with an afternoon game at 2 o'clock Saturday against Sacramento State.
So, okay, Las Vegas Bowl, and where else did the Mountain West teams go?
Fresno's going to Hawaii, so a decent consolation prize for them. They're going to play Houston there. Colorado State is going to go to Albuquerque. Utah State is going to go to Tucson. San Diego State, I believe, is going somewhere in Texas. They're going to play Army. I think it may be Fort Worth is where they're playing.
Yeah, and then Utah State's going to play New Mexico State.
In Tucson.
And New Mexico State hasn't played in a bowl game since, I guess, 1960?
Yeah,
it's been
a long, long time for them. And then, of course, here in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, Wyoming's taking on Central Michigan.
It's 8:56. We'll be back with Idaho Talks Live.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 9:06. It's Idaho Talks Live. Chris Walton along with Bob Anthony this morning. And our telephone, let me, by the way, say that here it is. We had another person qualify for the trip to Las Vegas, Dean Gard. Dean Gard was the sixth person to text Vegas to the Diamond Heating and Cooling text line.
All right.
Dean now is a qualifier for a two-night trip to Las Vegas, including round-trip airfare and two nights at the Hard Rock, plus ground transportation from Harmon Travel. To purchase a trip, if you would rather do that, just go to harmontravel.com and keep listening for the cue to text next hour for your chance to win sometime in the next hour or so.
I'm glad we have a game there. I only go to Vegas when I have business.
Well, yeah.
Stay out of trouble.
Well, yeah, you and I don't. We talked about that earlier this morning. We're not big gamblers.
Yeah.
So it's like you said, the game will be your best bet.
Or the buffet.
Well, the buffet also, yeah, is a good bet. Now, speaking of good bets or bad bets, the Senate and the House now have both passed a version of the tax bill. There were people that were complaining about it. And you said that even bothered you a little bit.
Yeah.
In the Senate version, they said, okay, we're going to vote on this in 2 hours. Here it is. And it was 300 and some pages long.
In the early morning hours on Saturday, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mitch McConnell, of course, he went on television, and the first thing Mitch said was that this is not that unusual, that we've had most of the parts of this thing, online for a few weeks with the opportunity for the senators or their staff to read it and to be briefed on everything that's going on. And he says, first of all, it's not that unusual for changes to be made to various bills in the last few hours just before they're voted on, simply because there's a negotiation going on until the actual vote is taken.
And so they can slip in something.
Well, okay, and occasionally that does happen. We know there's been pork, but that's been in the history of the United States, basically. But Mitch McConnell is the Senate Majority Leader, and he said on Sunday that the people of the United States are going to benefit from this whole thing. And he says he predicts that it will ultimately prove to be a political winner. In other words, the Republicans will do well in 2018 because they are passing this tax bill. Now, depending on who you watch, depending on the coverage of it, people will say the Republicans pushed through this unpopular tax bill although when a bill lowers anyone's taxes, it's always going to be popular with somebody, generally the person whose taxes are going to be lowered. And I don't know. It depends on how you feel. Do you believe that if corporate taxes are lowered? Now, there are plenty of people who don't believe there should be such a thing as corporate taxes in the first place, because if there weren't corporate taxes, the corporation then takes the money and either is able to distribute it among its shareholders or employees, possibly, or expand the business and make it larger, make more money, hire more people, and those things. And then there are other people who say, well, no, that's not going to happen. And they talk about all this money's going to big corporations, which is, you know, we've pointed this out before, the big corporations are made of people. And they do employ people. However, obviously, the largest part of it goes to the people at the top. But is that even unusual? I mean, if you own a business and you make more money in a particular year, yes, you may spread it around to your employees, but chances are you're also going to do well yourself, one would hope.
You know, I used to think corporations were made up of people, and what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched this documentary called The Corporation,
mm-hmm.
and... That would possibly change your mind.
It was made up of robots, or what was the deal?
Well, it's interesting how corporations came into being. There was a law a long time ago, mm-hmm. about that said something like slaves had the same rights as a white person.
Mm-hmm.
And this law kind of got messed around to, well, if that's the case, a corporation is also a person too.
Yeah.
You'd have to watch the documentary.
You know, and I know that it wasn't that long ago.
It all wrong, but
that's been within the last few years that they decided that essentially a company or a corporation could be a person.
And this law kind of, or this documentary kind of compared a corporation to a sociopath, because
mm-hmm.
you know, corporations, it's always a business decision.
Yeah,
you know, if they make
well, and they even teach that in business school. I mean, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
People in business know that. Their job, especially with a corporation, especially when you have shareholders and you have you know, stockholders and people who have invested in your business, they know that they have one job and one job only, and that job is to make a profit. And quite often, yes, exactly. Quite often, making a profit is it can be a fairly harsh thing to do,
mm-hmm.
Especially when it's very difficult. And if you don't make a profit, you are basically out of business. On the other hand, sometimes you have to. Cut costs, and you know that's when people go away. There are corporations that have moved out of, and you know, this started during the Clinton administration with NAFTA, but there are corporations that simply moved out of cities because they found out they could.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire industry, you know, went to pot or something, and you know, all of a sudden you have cities like Detroit and places like that where the major factories and the car dealerships and things like that, or the car manufacturers, moved out of Detroit and moved elsewhere, a lot of them to places like Mexico, or even some businesses were able to move to Canada. And they simply devastated the areas that they moved out of because there was nothing to come in and replace them.
Also, I'm thinking about when a corporation, you've got to remember, it's always a business decision,
right.
Whether it's even an evil decision.
Well, and that's why I said the word harsh. Because, like I said, they teach you that in business school, that if you are running a business, your responsibility is to make money. Your responsibility
to the shareholders.
Yeah. You don't necessarily have a responsibility. It's kind of an Ayn Rand type of thing where everybody looks out for themselves, except that in this particular case, it's the business looking out for its own best interests.
But I was thinking about when a corporation does something negligent, mm-hmm. like a dangerous product, and then they think, what would it cost us to recall that versus how much we're going to pay out
okay.
in court?
Well, we do have laws.
Correct.
There are laws. There are regulations in business, and there are plenty of people that think there are too many. But a lot of them are supposed to be protecting the public. Some of them are just, you know.
And they knowingly could break them.
Yeah.
And then they weigh what is our judgment in court going to be versus what it would cost to recall all these bad products.
Exactly.
So, again, it's a business decision.
Well, it can be a business decision. On the other hand, you know, bad publicity, you know.
And then they'll weigh that versus what it will cost us to hire a PR firm.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
Well, I mean, you know, and there's more to business than just, you know, how much are we making per square foot, although that makes a great deal of sense.
When people say corporations are just made up of people. Mm-hmm. I don't always go along with that like okay. I used to.
Well, I understand
point.
That. I understand that. But I don't know. It just seems that in this country that we have always had an understanding that when you go into business of any kind or when you go to work for a business, that there are going to be risks involved. And there was a certain time when people decided that jobs simply should mean security. And the fact is, if your industry is failing or if your business is failing, there is no such thing as security. And like I said, there are plenty of people who just believe that, you know, why can't this just be, you know, I've decided what to do now and the whole rest of my life is going to be, you know, cake from here on in. Mm-hmm. Well, there are jobs that have been like that, but there were other jobs that seemed like that, and they've been going away the last 20 or 30 years. It's 9:15. We'll be back. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, 208-336-3700. It's 9:15. We'll be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Now you can text Paul, Jay, and Chris. Text your message to 208-336-3700. Standard text rates apply. Sponsored by Diamond Heating and Cooling.
KBOI News Time is 9:20. Our KBOI rewards code for today is PROFIT, P-R-O-F-I-T. Not the biblical kind. This is the kind that you are supposed to make if you are in business.
That corporations make.
or the people in corporations, one of the two. P-R-O-F-I-T, profit. And also, right now, we would like to ask if you know the Paul J. play of the game. If you do, be the first correct caller at 208-336-3711, 208-336-3711. And if you have the play of the game correct, you will win a $50 gift certificate to Lock, Stock, and Barrel. That's 208-336-3711, first correct caller. Paul J. Identifies his personal play of the game on Bronco game night after each football game during the season. And that includes the Mountain West Championship, which Boise State, of course, won. Instant message here from... Mark of Meridian, and I was talking about, you know, like there are plenty of people who say that there shouldn't even be such a thing as corporate tax, that, you know, just since there is income tax, don't tax it twice. Mark of Meridian says corporate rate zero, minimum wage $15 to $20 per hour, then we don't have subsidized labor and they can afford then to pay taxes. Let's see, I had one, hang on, I have... Oh, here's Carol. Carol says, a view from the top 0.10% who will be relieved of the estate tax, which currently starts at an $11 million estate. Iowa Senator Grassley said, I think not having the estate tax recognizes the people that are investing as opposed to those that are just spending every penny they have, whether it's on booze or women or movies. In other words, we, without $11 million or more to pass, are spending every penny on booze, women, or gasp movies. We are a pretty dissolute bunch, aren't we? Those who voted for the tax transfer of wealth bill are responding to the wants of their donors and lobbyists, not the vast, vast majority of people. It would seem to me, yeah, Carol doesn't. Go ahead, and Bob, we've got that. We got a winner?
Casey.
Okay, we have Casey on the line right now. Casey.
Would this be Casey?
Yes, Casey.
Oh, this one.
Okay, Casey.
Sorry, I had a simple job, phone, and I'm blowing that.
We've got Casey on now for our Paul J. play of the game. Casey, what was the Paul J. play of the game for the Mountain West Championship game?
The 60-yard pass completion from Rippon to Wilson.
All right, let's hear it.
Senior Mason Hampton is at center. So now the ball back to the 5-yard line where it's first and 15. Rippon will come in under center. Wolpen, the only back. They'll fake it to him. Rippon in the end zone. Steps up, goes long. Wilson there. He caught it in stride. He stumbles into Fresno territory to the 35-yard line. And a huge gain to Cedric Wilson for 60 yards.
Okay, you've won, Casey. Well done. You've got yourself a gift certificate. $50 to Lock, Stock, and Barrel. Enjoy your dinner there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, does he need to hang on the line? Okay, you're done, Casey. I appreciate it. And
It was interesting. Bob Beeler said about that play. He said, you know, there toward the end, he mentioned that he stumbled into Fresno State territory. So it was 60 yards. That had he been able to keep his feet and not stumble, that very well could have been a 95-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah. Wow.
But either way, he said it was probably, as far as he's concerned, the catch or the pass of the year.
Yeah. I just remember from that game what stands out is just a slugging it out defensive battle.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're not the most exciting games, but I'm just glad it's over.
Yeah. Gary of Emmett wrote, huge news tax cut and huge news FBI agent lead on Trump and on Clinton emails reassigned to clerical duties pending investigation of emails sent to office coworker he had an extramarital affair with. Yeah, a lot going on this weekend. You cannot write a novel with this many plot twists. I predict some FBI high-ups will be cashiered. The deep state is going to become transparent, and there will be a much shallower swamp, which is possible, I would
guess. We can only hope.
336-3700, 208-336-3700. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, it's 9:26. We'll take a break, and we'll have the news and be back.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
9:36 on Idaho Talks Live. Chris Walton with Bob Anthony.
I'm kind of jacked. 9 new inches of snow at Bogus.
Because you ski?
I snowboard. Well,
okay.
I do actually.
All right,
both.
Snowboard.
I do both.
Okay. You know, I'm glad for snow at Bogus. I you know, I don't like it so much when it falls in town.
No, just keep it out of town.
Like, for instance, on my street.
The snow level should always remain about 4,000 feet.
Last year was fun on those you know, nights when it would snow and just snow and snow and snow. And then you'd wake up in the morning and the first problem was, how exactly do I get out of my driveway?
You know what? I was thankful that I did not do TV weather all last winter.
Well, yeah.
Because I'd be out there in the cold on some live shot or something.
Yeah, exactly. 937-208-336-3700. That's our local number to call, 208-336-3700. Let's go to the phones, and we'll talk first to Bill in Boise. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. Just had a comment on this tax bill. I know a lot of people are moaning and groaning about mm-hmm. the corporations getting, you know, from a 35% down to maybe 20%. Tax rate, you know, something had to be done with our corporate tax code system. And if corporations can get their tax rate down to 20%, and we're currently the highest in the world, maybe that'll keep some corporation like the corporation you guys work for.
Right.
Cumulus, is that correct?
Cumulus,
they're,
right.
They declare bankruptcy. Maybe this will keep them from having to make drastic structures. Corporations, yes, you know, your co-host there was making some kind of comment about how he, you know, doesn't trust them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say I don't trust
corporations
them.
Corporations are made up of people. You two are part of that.
Mm-hmm.
If your corporation can keep, even if they don't hire anybody, if they can keep from laying off more people, this is a good thing.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Yes, so I mean, let's get off this you know, this tax cuts all for the rich and the mm-hmm. The corporations. If corporations can keep one less person under this tax code from being laid off, and the probability is, hopefully, they'll expand.
Okay, and here's my question, because we've got, you know, half the people in Congress who are warning everybody that this is just for the upper 1%, and nobody is going to benefit from it, and everybody's taxes will eventually go up, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, the other half of Congress is saying, no, this is something we've needed for a long time, and it's great. How long is it going to be before we figure out, or before it's obvious who was right about this?
Well, let's see. Our national debt went up $10 trillion mm-hmm. in the 8 years of Obama. This one, based on no growth at all, is projected to be $1.5 trillion in debt, increased debt after 10 years.
Right.
So let's look at the two. I'd rather take a projected only 1.5 only, $1.5 trillion in increased debt, then $10 trillion in 8 years. Let's give this a chance.
Yeah.
My God.
I mean, obviously that's not perfect, but it certainly is better than the last 10 years. Yeah.
You guys are still working for Cumulus in a year, I would say it's successful.
Okay. And then that might be the best way to look at it.
Let's hope so.
I would think so. Oh, hey, can I make one other quick comment on Boise State? I think it's great that they won the Mountain West, but in Harsin's own words, after they lost to Fresno State, and there was a lot of criticism about how this game got to Boise, he said, hey, look, this is an eight-quarter playoff.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You still lost in total points after eight quarters.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Interesting, isn't it?
I think it was a sham for Fresno State. Thanks.
Okay. I don't know. People in Boise might feel a bit different about that. Jeff Aparma, quickly here, says it's a little bit worrisome in the future to find a job. Corporations are asking Congress why they have to contribute to their employees' retirement and health care. Currently, many companies are hiring offshore, and I don't see them flocking back to the U.S. because the corporate tax will be less, and eventually robotics will replace workers. It looks grim for the working class people here in the land of opportunity. The first thing I would say is learn robot repair.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And also, I'm not down on corporations per se, but I'm just saying they're not treated as normal people like you and me. I mean, they have more money for lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
They get more favorable tax treatment than you and me.
Well, and the thing is, I do believe all of those things were supposed to benefit everyone. I just hope they are. This from CNBC, U.S. stock index futures pointed to a strong positive open today, which there was, as sentiment was boosted by news that the U.S. Senate narrowly passed a major tax bill over the weekend. Dow Jones Industrial Average futures gained 222 points, while S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 futures jumped 16 points and 27.75 points, respectively. In the early hours of Saturday morning, Senate Republicans managed to narrowly pass a bill to revamp the country's tax system. The final vote came out as 51-49 in favor after Republicans had to rework the bill late on Thursday. And I talked to you about this kind of off the air. I said, you know, regardless of the problems this thing may have, I look at my 401k and I go, oh, okay, keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was just looking at the stock. We're about 200 points.
Wow.
Yep.
I do enjoy that. It's 9:43. Let's go to the phones. Who have we got? Jim in Boise. Let's talk to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. You just mentioned corporations trying to cut benefits and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say, I'm out of the mainstream of normalcy. Most people like security. Well, when I worked in California, I got a job at a temporary agency, and I loved it because I got to go different places and work at different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the employers loved it because they didn't have to pay a bunch of benefits. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of employers were actually hiring through a temporary agency.
Yeah. I don't know if that's still the case, but about 10 years ago, it was reported that the largest employer in the nation was the U.S. government, and the second largest was temp agencies.
Uh-huh. One more thing I'd like to mention. Did you know that this sexual problem, sexual assault thing, sexual unwanted advances,
mm-hmm.
is advancing to the gridiron? I was watching the SEC championship Saturday, and they mentioned somebody got called for illegal touching. Now, if that isn't sexual, I don't know what it is. Anyway, take care, y'all.
All right, thanks. Yeah, backfield in motion. There's a lot of interesting things, the tight ends, wide receivers, whatever, on a football team. It's 9:44. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
It's 9:49, Idaho Talks Live.
I could go for some more inversion conditions. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm
overcast and cold day after day.
I don't think I'm what you'd call a big inversion fan.
Neither am I. I'm being sarcastic.
But
I hate those.
We do have a note for you football fans. The New York Giants coach is now out of a job, Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, we alluded to that earlier this morning. He was quoted as saying, he said after the loss that he'll continue to coach as long as his key card works. Well, I guess he went to work this morning and
couldn't get in.
Went to the GM and said, I'm having a little problem with my key card.
Yeah.
Well, that reminds me, there's something we need to talk about.
Exactly.
So he's out.
It's like all those going north, please step forward. Not so fast,
not
Jonathan.
So fast, Ben.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why he put Geno Smith in there when you have Eli Manning. And Geno Smith, knowing his record,
yeah.
I just don't get that. Neither does anybody in New York, for that matter.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a desperation move. And guess what? It didn't work.
Let's try anything.
Yeah. Let's try something we haven't tried yet, mm-hmm. even if it's insane. Instant message from Mari, who apparently didn't like Jim's comments about the NFL. She says, as long as men keep joking about sexual assault and inappropriate behavior towards women, it will never change. And even if you think it's funny, you are part of the problem. So, you know, you know, she is right. It's not a joking matter. You have to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes to know what it's like.
Yeah.
And you and I have never been in the workplace as a female, and we never will be. And so I don't know whether that's an advantage or what to us, but we just haven't had to go through what they go through. And I've talked to plenty of women who say, it's almost as if, you know, of course I was sexually harassed on my last job or something like that. They just say it happens so frequently that, you know, sometimes they just feel like, you know, it's something that's got to happen when you're in the working world. But of course it doesn't, because if it had to happen, it would have to happen to everybody.
I'm just wondering when it's not going to be in the news like it has been.
Well, my guess is it's just going to become exponentially larger from here. Wow. Simply because you had one big story about it, and then all of a sudden you had three, and then the next, you know, couple of weeks there were eight, and you know, now we're starting to get the conductors and I don't know. It doesn't matter what your job is. Anybody who's in a position of power over the opposite sex, or in the case of the conductor, not even the opposite sex, but anybody who's in a position of power and uses it to their sexual advantage in any way is starting to figure out that, with any luck, they're starting to figure out that that was not the thing to do. Like even Matt Lauer admitted, he said, yeah, he did a lot of these things that he's been accused of. But he said he always felt like it was consensual. Well, the boss calls you in, locks the door, and says, you know, hey, want to fool around? And you're afraid of losing your job, so you say okay or whatever. You know, I'm making it sound kind of like a light subject there, but in any way that it happens, somebody in a position of power takes advantage of it, and no, it wasn't consensual.
Yep. Well, we definitely know in all these year-end countdowns and news summaries that 2017 will go down as the year of the creeper.
Well, very possible.
Let's go to the phone. Who's up? Mike? Mike, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it's kind of offensive, too, that these women didn't speak up earlier to protect themselves and to protect other women, you know.
Well, okay, I can.
It's not consensual if people don't say anything to you. You know, how do you know?
I can kind of speak to that in that there were women who did speak up years ago, and they found out that they weren't believed, because generally, if something went on, it was behind a closed door, and usually it was the boss's word against theirs. And who are you going to believe, the boss or the woman that just got hired? And so quite often, the corporation, sometimes it was even government office, believed the boss. They didn't believe the woman. And so they, they had a career. And if they pursued it, they were assured that their career would end, and they didn't want that to happen, so they were scared. And they were never in a position where they had the upper hand.
So I have a question for you. So in all your years, have you ever thought that a female has sexually assaulted you or said something that was crass or inappropriate to you that maybe if you brought out now that you wouldn't be believed?
Not that I can recall, no.
to tell you the truth.
No off-color jokes?
Like I said, nothing that I can recall. Most of the women I have worked with have not been particularly crass.
Really? So,
well,
yeah. With some of the same people.
Well, I know that. I did say most. Well, let's put it this way: if they were making sexual advances towards somebody, it didn't happen to be me.
Me neither.
Okay, I'm just looking over at Bob. So, I do appreciate the question, though. Thanks very much. I appreciate the call. It's 9:55. Keep listening for your chance to qualify to win a trip to Las Vegas for the Las Vegas Bowl. And don't forget that we are going to be collecting for Toys for Tots this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Be listening for details. They're coming up with Nate Shellman this afternoon. We'll see you.